2012, think back. I know it seems like forever ago, really, does it, to the start of January. But was there a piece of technology this year that changed your life for the better or for the worse? Maybe you actually installed some sat-nav in your car for the very first time, or you upgraded your phone, got a new app. Something in your life turned out for the better, or maybe you've been introduced to technology that's made life, well, not as simple as it should be. We're going to talk about the trends for 2013 and also the things that worked and didn't work for this man, futurist Morris Mizalowski. Welcome.
Hello, Nicole.
How are you doing? Technology for you. Tell me, what has been a saving grace in your life this year?
I think the big push this year has been into tablets. Not the ones we take, but the ones we look at. When you think back to the beginning of the year, there was only the iPad. When we think back 3 years ago, there was no iPad and we had no idea we even needed it.
I remember when someone first brought to my attention a tablet, and I thought, it's never going to get off the ground, it's too big, it's too bulky. But you only have to walk into any cafe and someone's got one somewhere and tapping away. So do you think that, how will that then evolve from the year 2012 to 2013?
We're already seeing it taking over the world in nearly every industry, and that's such a big statement to make. But in medicine, we see doctors and nurses, all kinds of people walking around already with a tablet that have all the information that the patients have on them. We already see that some of the airlines are now pushing all of their reports, all of the pilot data, onto tablets that they're carrying around with them. And we go through all kinds of industries and we see that this little portable device that we carry that can bring information in from the cloud, that can do all kinds of things just on that one form factor, is reinventing the way that people do that particular piece of work. It's quite incredible. Again, it doesn't matter the brand, but just the notion that we carry around this little small box with us, and in that we have so much information and so much possibility.
To the point that it almost becomes overwhelming, especially when it comes to keeping in touch with people, because you can do it through Twitter, other forms of social media like Facebook. You've got the phone, you've got the text, you've got the email, the list goes on and on. Will that be consolidated, do you think, in the year 2013?
No. It's only going to get worse. What we've been moving into is what I call fractured communication, and you're absolutely right. Now, this is a statement I swore I'd never make, but in my day, when I grew up, there was only one form of communication. There was the phone, or it became email or SMS a little bit later on. Everybody used that one form. And as you said now, people are choosing whatever form of communication according to who they're communicating to. So they might use the phone, back to that traditional one, they might use Skype, they might use SMS. Kids, while they're playing their games at night, are talking inside that space. Everybody's choosing different spaces that are appropriate to who they're talking to and what they want to achieve. And in many ways, that's pretty much what we do in everyday life. Do you know, you and I have about 200 different interactions every day of our lives on average. And each one of them, we change our language, we change our body stance, the words we use, depending on who it is we're talking to. So we'll talk differently to our lover than we will to our boss, to the person we're buying coffee from, just ever so slightly. And that's what we're seeing online now, that push to being a more natural self and just using whatever feels appropriate for that time and space.
When it comes to the world of apps, and we've been having a bit of fun this morning with Paul Keating, not being particularly happy about an insult app, all the insults that he's delivered in his career, and somebody wants to consolidate them and make some money out of it. Whether that happens or not, jury's still out. But Appy Days, you think that the volume of apps is going to increase exponentially, starting from 2013. Why so?
Apps have become really, really popular in a short space of time. 2 years ago, most people didn't even know they needed them. And now we have an explosion of apps that do pretty much everything we might want to do with the virtual world. So we can do our banking on them, we can go shopping on them, we can recreate with them, we can find people, and the list just goes on and on. What we're finding is that we're migrating away from websites. And if you think about the way you use a mobile device, you don't really want to go to a search engine and type in all of that address and do whatever it is you need. That's just too clumsy, too cumbersome. What you want is a real easy digital key, kind of the front door to Aladdin's cave. And you just want to get in there and do it. So just literally use your finger, push on it, and enter the bank, enter whatever you want. And for that reason, we're seeing more and more apps come about, just simply because we're pushing onto our mobile devices. People want the shortest way possible to engage, interact, and have fun, and apps are doing it. And it's not only business to consumer. I'm seeing a lot of business to business people doing it. which means that internally companies are providing their own apps to their salespeople, to their staff, and they're communicating in that form now, again, rather than using an internet or something else.
ABC Local Radio Queensland futurist Morris Mizulowski, and his ball of tricks looking at some of the trends for the years to come, 2013 in particular. And you've got here one of the new big must-haves next year will be augmented reality glasses.
Yeah.
Seriously?
So Google is the one who's pushing this. And we know Google has a mixed track record, really good on search engines, not so good on other products, possibly. But what we're seeing is them announcing that early, after the first quarter of 2013, they're going to bring out what are called Google Glasses. And they'll look like a normal pair of prescription glasses that you might wear. In fact, you can have prescription in them if you want, otherwise I'll just be clear. But what they'll have on the inside is a heads-up display. So if you think about those sci-fi shows, you know, where they put on a helmet or they put on a contact lens or something, and all of a sudden they see stuff and they see the real world. So they might be able to see a radar, for instance, or some information about something. That's what we're going to see on the inside of our Google Glasses. It'll be hooked up to our mobile device seamlessly by Bluetooth, like everything else is nowadays. And you'll be able to call up navigation, so you'll be able to walk or drive using the glasses. It'll show you inside the screen where you're headed. It'll be able to show you people that are around you and even do face recognition and tell you who they are and what your relationship is to them if you can't quite remember. Whatever you can do on your mobile device is going to be brought up into those glasses. And next year we're seeing a number of manufacturers, including of course Google, who have spoken about saying that they're going to bring out their first iterations of them.
I'm going to assume they're going to be rather expensive.
Yeah.
Is it the normal way of technology that something new that's shiny and exciting is always more expensive? Give it a couple of years and it'll be at a price range that, you know, the average person could afford.
You're absolutely right. I don't think it'll be a couple of years. I think Christmas next year we'll be seeing some of them in our Christmas stockings. Google has said, without being absolute about it, that the price must probably be around $1,300-$1,400 for the first version of it. And the way technology goes now, it's not going to take much. So I think within a year or so we're going to see that price coming down. It's still going to be expensive for a while, but I think we'll see them in the mid-hundreds in about a year or so from now.
I was at my local post office the other day, Morris, and I asked one of the employees there, are they getting card onlys a lot this year? And they said, no, very much down. So obviously the digital world has come into play for sending Christmas greetings. So I ask you the question, if you are planning to send a digital message, because if you haven't sent your cards and your presents now, it's probably not going to make it to Christmas time. So how do we use technology to stay in touch, starting off firstly with the digital Christmas card?
There are lots of really, really interesting things you can do online. Of course, we love the personal contact. I'm not talking about substituting it, but as you said, if it's a last-minute thing, or just for a bit of fun, have a look at some of these. What you can do is you can send a personalised video message from Santa to your kids. So the website for that is portablenorthpole.com. Portablenorthpole.com. What you do is you go on and you tell Santa what you want him to say, and back will come a message from Santa saying that. There is an upgrade, it's free, but there's an upgrade version. The upgrade version allows you to keep the video. Otherwise, it just brings it back to your screen. It's a one-off view. But it's a really interesting, nifty thing to do, just for something different on Christmas. There's a couple of others I like. One of them is a digital card where you can put yourself into, you take your face and you put it on top of a series of elves. In fact, you can take you and four of your mates, so five maximum, and all of you can become a digital elf singing Christmas songs, and you can send it to other people. And that's called elfyourself.com. Elfyourself.com.
Okay, is that a free one?
It is a free one.
Again,
it's a free one with the upgrade. Most of these start off as free. You can do it, have fun, watch it. It's normally if you want to capture it or use it again that they're going to sting you for it. So just go on and have a look. The other one I like, just because it's tricky and quick, is you can put your home, your house, wherever you're living, inside a snow globe on screen.
So, and to keep and to send?
No, again, same thing. Look at it on screen and look at it and keep looking. So you have to type in your address a few times if you want to look at it over and over again. This one is, you've got a funny URL. It's called draftfcb.com. draftfcb.com. What you do is you type in your address. It goes to Google Maps. It finds the house that's connected to that address and puts it inside a snow globe. And then you shake it. Remember the old ones where you could see the snow coming down? That's what you get in this. They're all quirky. Look, you have to ask yourself the question why. The reason is it's Christmas. We want to have some fun. Why not?
I want a dancing digital elf self. And yeah, And you can. Remind me again. You can email that, or is it your own personal pleasure?
Again, these are all upgradable. So have a look at that. The elf one is actually quite cute. It's a nice one. And if you get some mates together, five of you can have some fun recording it.
Yeah, I have left everything to the last minute, so the digital elf self could actually get me out of a bit of trouble there. Morris Mizalowski, thank you very much. Merry Christmas.
And a Merry Christmas to you, and a joyous and safe one as well.
Indeed. Futurist Morris Mizalowski teaching us how to use the digital world to our advantage.